Let's open our Bibles, please, at a passage that has already been mentioned this morning, and naturally so, 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to think of some of the practical issues of the subjects that we've been considering today as we anticipate the coming of the Lord and the events that are going to result therefrom. 2 Peter chapter 3, we'll begin to read at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. The Lord will bless to us the reading of his holy book. Let's bow in a moment of prayer. Father, we thank thee for the consciousness of thy presence with us through this day, and we pray that as we come to the closing moments, that thou wilt challenge our hearts and help us, we pray thee, to give our lives devotedly to the one who gave his completely for us. In the name of the Lord Jesus we ask. Amen. The lake appears to have been calm when they set sail on their boat across the water. So calm that one of their number lay down in the boat and he fell asleep. The other men aboard the boat continued their sail across the lake. In a little while, a wild storm arose. The winds blew down the mountain gorges on the lake side and blew across the trembling lake. It was a distressing time. Even for those men who were fishermen, they recognized their lives were in danger. The only person who could possibly save them from drowning was asleep. And the only thing they could do was to wake him. And that's exactly what they did. And as he arose, he spoke just a very short phrase. "Peace," he said. "Be still." And immediately the wind abated, and the waves were calm. Well, you can imagine how these men felt as they saw this remarkable evidence of his power. What did they say? "Behold, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the waves obey him?" Here was a unique person with a remarkable power. One of these men that was on that boat with him that day was a man called John. He wrote about his Lord in his Gospel, and he also wrote in his three epistles, encouragement and exhortations to other believers. He takes up his pen to write the first epistle, and near the middle of that epistle, he writes something that was very impressive to him and it is to us. He said, "What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." What manner of man? A unique person with a remarkable power. What manner of love? Here is a unique privilege and position. We've been brought into God's family with a remarkable prospect. For he goes on to say, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." What a glorious prospect. Another of the men aboard that ship that day was a man called Peter. And he also had the privilege of writing two letters that we have in our possession. We've read from very near the end of the second letter. And as Peter anticipates the coming day that we've been thinking about and beyond it, he also makes an exclamation. Not this time what manner of man, not this time what manner of love, but this time he says, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? In this condition, this context, the apostle is speaking about a unique people, you and I, who have a remarkable prospect, a remarkable purpose, the purpose of being like the Lord Jesus. As he anticipates the future, he says everything's going to be dissolved. The things that are held together are going to come apart in that coming day. And he said, in view of that, since all these are going to be, what manner of persons ought ye to be? There's a little word in our King James Version that impresses one as we read these verses. Look at verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Look at verse 14. Beloved, seeing that you look for such things. Look at verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things. That's a remarkable thing that Peter never wrote that word at all. He never wrote about seeing. He wrote the present participle in each case. All these things being about to be dissolved. Looking for these things. Knowing these things. But the implication is, since these things are going to be like that, since all these things are going to happen, what manner of person ought ye to be? Well, some might say, well, since everything is going to be dissolved, why not let's have a good time? Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Let's forget about the spiritual. Since everything's going to be dissolved, why worry at all about it? But Peter's argument is the very opposite. Says Peter, since the material and the physical is going to pass away, should we not concentrate on the spiritual and live a life of holiness and godliness? And in view of all the things that are going to happen in our world in the future, what should be our kind of life? How should this affect our lives? As we've seen already today, the prophecy that God has given to us in his book, the revelation of things that are going to happen in the future, has not been given to us to stimulate our curiosity or arouse our interest or increase our intellect. It has been given to challenge our lives. It has been given to change our character. It has been given to cheer our hearts. This is the purpose of prophecy. And if our consideration today of the Word of God in relation to future events has not succeeded in affecting the way we live, then our consideration has been in vain. I'm going to suggest to you that from this passage of 2 Peter 3, we can derive five things that should characterize Christians in view of the things that are going to happen in the end times. Five things. In fact, as we read through the New Testament, we discover that all the writers of the New Testament, from Matthew to Revelation, in speaking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus and the events of the future, do so with a practical implication. Always there's a practical implication. And it seems to me that in these verses at the end of 2 Peter, we have combined together all the practical implications of all the writers of the New Testament. Let us see some of the characteristics that should apply to our lives in view of the events that are going to happen. Let's look first of all at verses 12, 13, and 14. In these three verses, there is a word in the Greek and a word in the English that occurs in each verse. Verse 12 says, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of the Lord. Verse 13 says, nevertheless, we according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth. Verse 14 says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things. The Greek word in this is the same in each case. It's a word that means to await, to expect, to anticipate, to be prepared for. And the Apostle Peter is speaking about preparedness. As Christians, as believers, looking forward to the coming days that are coming upon this world and to our coming to be with the Lord, we should first of all be a prepared people. And this indeed is what the synoptic gospel writers, the writers of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, seem to emphasize as they present the word of the Lord Jesus. In fact, from these verses, it would seem that Peter was perhaps reflecting on the words of the Lord Jesus. It was the Lord that spoke about the thief in the night that Peter refers to. And it would seem that as Peter looks forward to that, he is thinking of the Lord's words. In fact, the Lord used this exact word in his teaching. He used it in the negative sense of the servant who doesn't look for his master. When he comes, he'll be taken unexpectedly. He'll be taken unawares. But you and I shouldn't be like that. We should be a prepared people, eagerly anticipating the coming of our Lord, anticipating the things that are going to be happening, and prepared in view of it. What are the characteristics of prepared people? Well, the Lord Jesus, recorded by Luke in chapter 12, tells us two of the characteristics. A person who is looking for the master, the servants who are looking at two things. He says, let your loins be girt and your light be burning. A person who is prepared is one who is working. His loins are girt. A person who is prepared is a person who is witnessing. His lamp is burning. Are you working for the Lord in his absence? Are your loins girt? Are you witnessing for the Lord until his return? Is your lamp burning brightly for him? If you're really looking for the coming of the Lord, if you are a prepared person, then you'll be working for him. Your loins will be girt. And you'll be witnessing for him. And your lamp will be burning. What manner of persons ought ye to be? We ought to be a prepared people. But there's more than that. Look at verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace. In peace. Not only should we be a prepared people, we should be a peaceful people. In spite of the criticisms of men, in spite of the scoffers and their attempts to teach falsely and taunt us because of our faith in the Lord Jesus, in spite of the cataclysmic disasters that may go on around us, in spite of the tragedies that may affect this world, we should be in peace. And if we were to look in the Bible for this exhortation, we turn back to the Gospel of John, where John records some of the last words of the Savior to his own in the upper room. As he anticipated his coming, he said, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And there is a secret of the peaceful Christian, the coming again of the Lord Jesus. In that same passage, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. If there is anyone in this world who should be characterized by peacefulness in the circumstances of instability and war and crisis among men, it should be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. For after all, it's the Prince of Peace who's coming. It's our Savior who's coming. We're going to be taken out of this world altogether before these disastrous events happen. We should be in peace. Are you a peaceful people? What manner of persons ought ye to be? We should be prepared. We should be peaceful. Let's notice another thing that should characterize the Lord's people in the light of the Lord's coming. Look at verse 12. Says the apostle, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Hasting. I understand that the word unto shouldn't be there at all. It should be hasting the coming of the Lord. Hastening on. That means desiring earnestly by our lives, our prayers, our witness, our service. Let's look down at verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. Diligent. Hasting the coming of the Lord. What is the characteristic of the Lord's people as they await the coming? Not only prepared, not only peaceful, but passionate. And I'm using the word in its primary meaning, influenced by strong feeling, zealous, fervent, diligent, earnest, ardent, hasting, desiring earnestly the coming of the Lord. And as I look at the writings of the Apostle Paul, I discover that over and over again in his writing, this is the characteristic that he presents as we look forward to the coming of the Lord. We just turned to 1 Corinthians 15 a moment ago. You remember how 1 Corinthians 15 ends in that chapter? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unwavering, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Is that our characteristic? Diligently seeking to serve him as we witness for him here and anticipate his coming. And that's not the only verse. We could select many passages from Paul's writings, for example, in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, that indicate the fact that we should be diligent in serving the Lord. Let all that look for hasten that coming joyful day by earnest consecration to walk the narrow way, by gathering in the lost ones for whom our Lord did die, for the crowning day is coming by and by. What manner of persons ought ye to be? We should be prepared people. We should be peaceful people. We should be passionate people, desiring earnestly to serve him. But look at verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. What does that suggest? It suggests that we should be pure people. Pure people. Let's look again at verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Holy, godly, without spot, blameless. It's rather interesting to me, and I think rather significant, that the words used at the end of verse 14, without spot and blameless, are precisely the same words that Peter uses in his very first epistle. But he doesn't use them about us, he uses about the Lord, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The same characteristics that characterized him should characterize his people. We too should live without blemish, without spot, pure lives. And it seems to me that this is the character that is presented by John in his first epistle. You remember that passage that I've already mentioned, 1 John 3? He thinks about the future, what shall be, we know not. We know not what shall appear. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then the apostle goes on to bring the practical implications of it. He says, he that hath this hope in him, in Christ, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. He is without spot and blameless, just as he is without blemish and without spot. As we anticipate the coming of the Lord, we should be pure as he is pure. What manner of persons ought ye to be? Prepared, peaceful, passionate, pure. One more thing, just as we close. Let's look at verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, but is long-suffering. That's how this passage begins. The long-suffering, the patience of the Lord. Let's look at how it ends in verse 15. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Long-suffering. Patience. You see, patient people should be the characteristics of those who anticipate the coming of the Lord. We should be patient. Patient people. Not only are those who are scoffers saying, where is the promise of his coming? But sometimes Christians are saying that. As things happen all around them, as tragedy upon tragedy confronts them, they say, where is the promise of his coming? But in the light of all these circumstances, we should be patient. The Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, And we too should be characterized by that patience. And it seems to me that James brings this out in his epistle. In fact, he uses the same word a couple of times that Peter uses. He uses it in the adjective form. He said, "Be ye patient unto the coming of the Lord, for the coming of the Lord is drawing near." And as we anticipate that coming and all the events that are associated with it, remember that our God is long-suffering, and we too should be patient and long-suffering in anticipation of the coming of the Lord Jesus. What manner of persons ought ye to be? Well, we ought to be prepared. We ought to be peaceful. We ought to be passionate. We ought to be pure. And we ought to be patient. May the Lord help us. As we have thought of his coming today and all the events connected with it, to be that kind of person in all holy conversation and godliness.